Hello and welcome to this episode of the Side by Side ATC podcast. I'm your host, Tom Haynes, and today we're going to discuss a question I got online. And the question is, what qualities do you see in trainees that go on to have long and successful careers as air traffic controllers? Wow. It's taken a few days for me to think about that. I have, of course, had my own time as a trainee. I don't necessarily know what people saw in me, but people saw it fairly quickly that I was going to be able to be an air traffic controller. In one of the first episodes, I told you the story of one of my stories of going through the academy. And I'll get back to that. And then I've also had my share of trainees at facilities. And then spending 5 years at the academy, I got to see a lot of students succeed. I got to see, unfortunately, a lot of students who didn't succeed at the academy. And then I heard stories of students who didn't succeed at their first facility for various reasons. And I was at the academy, so I have no idea really what went on at their first facility. But then I've heard stories of those same students succeeding at their next facility. And so it's a difficult question. What qualities make up a good air traffic controller? One thing I found pretty early in my career, and it's not official, it's nothing scientific about it. I know Cammy, which is still at the academy, they were always looking to try and find out what qualities made good air traffic controllers, or how could they find people that would be good air traffic controllers instead of having to go through 300 people at the academy every couple of months when I was going through it and having a pass rate of 40%, which means 120 out of the 300. And then there was a pass rate at the facilities of another 40%. So now you're down to 48 out of 300. Not a really good rate for the FAA. It was really difficult for them to replenish the staffing after the strike. So they were always looking for things that might be characteristics of controllers. And I always had my own thoughts about it. One of the thoughts had to do with music. A lot of the people that I worked with over the years played either in band in junior high school, or were still playing in band after college and, you know, in life. As a matter of fact, there is a jazz band out there. It was still active when I retired in 2015. I don't know if they're still going at it, as all the members have gotten a little bit older. But it was called Air Traffic, A-I-R-E, Traffic. They put out some CDs at the time, back when CDs were the way you did it. But there have been controllers that I worked with who had their own bands, who were very musical, I played tenor saxophone in junior high and into mid-high, didn't continue it in past my sophomore year in high school, but had a lot of fun playing in band, playing in the jazz band. And so I was around so many people that had played instruments that I was like, you know, that's probably one thing that Cammie needs to look into. And I don't know what it is about playing a musical instrument. I don't know if it's necessarily playing a musical instrument or if it's just a love of music. I couldn't tell you. But that was just one of my early ideas. But I will say one thing. Looking at the trainees that I've had, trainees at the facilities, I've had great trainees. I've had so-so trainees. The great trainees were pretty much self-starters. I had one trainee when I was at Brownsville who was probably the easiest trainee I ever had. She was so prepared each day. Number one, she was there each day. Number two, she was prepared for each day of training. And she did very well. It didn't take her much time at all to get certified through the tower. And then she went on, I don't know exactly what steps she ended up with, but she ended up getting to Love Tower as I was leaving to go to Fort Worth Center. So she took a more roundabout route. And then while I was at Fort Worth Center, the fac rep came up to me one day and asked if I had worked with her. And I said, yes, why? He said, well, she put in to come to Fort Worth Center, and they were trying to find out if it would be, you know, worth their while to pick her up. And I said, yes, it would. And she would be the easiest, one of the easiest trainees they ever had, because she cared enough to be there every day. She cared enough to be prepared every day. Unfortunately, she chose to go to DFW Tower instead. And then I found out kind of sideways while I was up at the academy that she may have ended up at Boston Tower. Why you would go from DFW Tower to Boston, I have no idea, but I'm sure she had her reasons. And then I recently found out that she is now an instructor in the terminal side of things at the academy. And that does not surprise me at all. It didn't surprise me that she got to DFW Tower. It didn't surprise me really that she had moved on from there. And it didn't surprise me, well, it did surprise me, but didn't surprise me that she ends up at the academy and trying to pass on what she's learned. And hopefully, you know, I had a small part in that. She was a trainee that I really didn't have to do a whole lot as her trainer. Just kind of, you know, smooth off rough edges every so often and then go on from there. So, you know, I mentioned a couple of things in that story. One is be there every day. It doesn't matter if you're at the academy. It doesn't matter if you're training at a facility. It doesn't matter if you're training at your fifth facility. Be there every day. And then be prepared every day. If you get into air traffic control, you're going to have documents that you are going to have to know. And I'm not talking about the big book, the 7110.65, that has all our rules. I'm talking about SOPs, the standard operating procedures that every facility has. And even the academy has an SOP.
you have LOAs, letters of agreement between facilities. You have to know those. You have to know what's expected of you by the facilities that are around you. You have to know what to expect from them. And when you get to the center, you'll have not really letters of agreement. You will have with the other centers, with the other facilities. And then you'll have agreements between sectors on how they're going to give the traffic to each other. So you're going to have to know those. Well, the more you know them, the easier your training is going to be. If you're at the academy, you have to know the LOAs. You have to know the SOP better and more thoroughly than the evaluators do. Okay? It may not seem like that's possible, but believe me, it is. So how can you do that? Oh, I have seen so many ways that students have tried to learn the SOP. The letters of agreement are fairly easy to learn at the academy. You have a certain number, you have the non-radar portions of those LOAs, you have the radar portion of those LOAs. You have to know them. You have to know what altitude to give arrivals into Monroe Approach. You have to know how to give arrivals into Greenwood Tower. Non-radar, when you're non-radar. You have to know what to do when you're radar. You have to know what's expected of you. You have to know what to expect from them. You just have to. So you have to learn them, and you have to read them. And the SOP is the same way. It's the operating procedures that you're going to be graded on at the academy. So you have to learn them. You have to read that document more than once. I would suggest reading it, starting to read it, as soon as you get it. So if the FAA sends you an iPad before you get to Oklahoma City, open it up, find the SOP, start reading it. And like I said, I've seen various ways that students go about trying to read it and understand it. The most unusual of those, I was in the breakout room one morning, and one or two of the students had already come in, and then a couple of guys came in, and one of the guys looked at another student that had already been there and said, "Hey, I fell asleep to you reading the SOP last night." And I looked at him, I said, "What? What's he mean by that?" And the student looked at me and said, "Well, I thought it would be better and easier to learn if I made a voice recording of me reading it." And I was like, "Well, that's the first time I've heard of anyone doing that." And he says, "Well, it helps me when I read it to be listening to it at the same time." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, you know, that probably works pretty well." I said, "Next time, don't make it so boring that your classmates are falling asleep listening to it. You know, maybe make it a rap. You know, do something else with it." Of course, I was joking with him, but I thought it was a fantastic idea. Just another way of learning that document. So, however you do it, whether you read it, whether you type it out again. Some people learn best when they're typing something. I like to write stuff out. It seems to reinforce stuff to me when I'm reading it. you need to do whatever you need to do to understand that document. You have to understand it. You have to know it backwards and forwards. In one of the last classes I had before I left the academy, one of the students was filing a TR, which is a technical review, on his last run. He was going to fail by, I think it was about 5 points, 4 or 5 points on his last run. And so he was trying to find something that he could file a technical review on and get the points back. And I had a discussion with him about some things that went on, that he said went on. And I told him, I don't think you're going to be able to file a TR on that. And then he explained a little bit more that went on. And I said, now that you might be able to file a TR on. And so he started typing it into the computer. And I went downstairs, ran into some of his classmates. And they said, hey, he's upstairs filing a TR. He wanted to talk to you. I said, I've already talked to him. And I said, this is what he's doing. And I told him the situation. And one of his classmates looked at me and said, oh yeah, I know the reference for that. And I said, wow. Tell him. Text him, do whatever you have to. But let him know the reference. And sure enough, he filed his TR and got one of his separation errors, which was a 16. Yes, that's 1/6 point error, dropped down to a phraseology error, which was a 2 point error. So he got 14 points back on his last run. So instead of failing by 4 or 5 points, he ends up passing by 9 or 10 points. That's how much you need to understand that document. And so the quality that you have to bring to the table when you're in training is you have to be a self-starter. You can't rely on someone else to start things for you. You have to be the one to initiate stuff. You have to be the one to ask your trainer or your instructor questions. If you don't understand something, and you walk out of that session not understanding it, that's on you. You have to ask. You have to get clarity. It's your career on the line, not the instructors, not your trainers. And in some facilities, the trainers don't care about you. Okay? So that is probably the greatest quality. Number one, you have to be there every day. When you're in training, you're there every day. You have to be ready to train every day. And then you have to make sure that you understand what you did wrong during that training session or during that training day, during that scenario at the academy. That's on you. You have to be the one to be in control of your career and what you are getting out of the academy. I don't know how else to say it. But when faced with a question like I received, what qualities? I've seen students who expected to pass and expected everybody to help them pass. And believe me, the instructors at the academy want you to pass. They'd love for every student to pass. They know it's almost impossible. I've had classes that came very close to getting 100%. I had one class, I think we were 7 points shy. Two people in that class did not pass, one by 2 points and one by 5 points. And we had another one pass by 5 points. So
it's up to you. You are going to be the one to make this career as an air traffic controller be what it is. You can skate through with a 70. You can have that be your goal. My goal is to make 70. No, your goal is not to make 70. Your goal is to make 100. Your goal is to make them, and by them, I mean the FAA, go over your stuff with a fine-tooth comb to find anything wrong with it. That is your goal. Your goal is not to make a 70 at the academy. Your goal is to make 100, to be the first one to make 100 at the academy. And if you miss a question on the first test, on the MAP test, and you can't make 100, well, now your goal is to make a 99.9. Do not settle for being mediocre. Have as your goal to be the best controller that the FAA has ever had. If you have that as a goal, then I guarantee you can attain most of it. You can, with the right attitude, with the right mindset, with the right support, you can attain that. Okay? But it's going to be up to you. It's not up to your instructors at the academy. It's not up to your trainer at your first facility. That is up to you. So what qualities do you have? You have to be, more than anything, in charge of your career, in charge of what your future is going to look like. Because if you sit back and expect things to be given to you, you're going to be in a world of hurt when it comes down to day 60 and you don't have a job. At least not a job with the FAA. So, my advice, like I said, show up every day, be prepared every day, make mistakes. Be okay with making mistakes. The FAA doesn't care. They know you're going to make mistakes. At the academy, they know you're going to make mistakes. What they want to see is how you handle making mistakes. Does it just cause you to freeze? Or do you figure out a way to make it where that mistake doesn't happen again, or it doesn't cause separation, it doesn't cause an airspace violation? That's up to you. That's, no one else can do that for you. You have to do it on your own. So that's my advice. You have to start it. You have to follow through with it. You're the one that has to make sure that the FAA can't find enough that you've done wrong to ever, ever, ever kick you out of this job and out of this career. That is your job. Your job at the academy is to be there every day, to be ready every day, to be ahead of the program every day, and to continue to be ahead of the program every day, and to become the best controller, the best student that they've ever seen, and then to take that to your first facility and be the best trainee they've ever seen. If it takes you 2-3 months before you start training, well, use that time to learn everything you can. When you get down to the floor, you show them that you didn't just sit upstairs and twiddle your thumbs. You worked from day one. And that will get you a career, a long and very successful and very fulfilling career as an air traffic controller. And that's where you want to be.
Well, thank you for the time. Thank you for listening. I hope that I was able to answer that question.
leave me a note. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you agree. But please, hit follow, hit like, whichever one is on the app that you're listening on. And again, thank you so much for continuing to listen to me as I ramble on. And until we get to talk again, thank you again, and thank you so much for listening. Good night.